Midnight Rail, I played lead guitar. Now, gigs with lead guitar are very hard to find these days,
yeah.
You know, because people only want one guitar player. But in those days, it was a real... And that was, doing that was a great education of just following your instincts and seeing where they take you. And I did a lot of that for a while. I played electric slide guitar with Marianne Faithfull briefly.
Oh, wow.
Things like that. And it's great to see where lead and melody and just total self-expression that you can do with lead, where that takes you. And that's a part of my music now, I think, too. But I didn't really start writing songs as such and fall in love with the song as almost a way of life until I was living in the States. I lived in L.A. for about 7 years, and something about getting away from Ireland to a place where you were just utterly anonymous.
Yeah.
And also the desert. I love the desert.
Yeah.
And something about that freed me to just express myself in songs, you know. And that's when I really started to write. So I started to write those songs like Western Highway and The Holy Ground, and those songs were written then and,
oh, really?
And there. Yeah. And so it's gone on ever since. Yeah.
And so that was your early album.
Yeah.
Is that your first album? Was it Half Moon Bay? Is it?
Yeah, Half Moon Bay. I didn't do it for ages, but those songs all, and then, they were backed up waiting for that first record. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, wow. Oh, so I see. It took a while before you actually recorded it.
Yeah. It took another 15 years, maybe.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what were you doing in that time?
Well, I lived in L.A. and worked there and did a lot of music there. Moved back to Ireland. And I was playing for a period of time with the Sharon Shannon Band, which was all encompassing, that took up all your time.
Really? Yeah.
Playing a band like that, that's very successful, you know.
Yeah.
And then you were saying about Andy M. Stewart. I toured with Andy a bit and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So what made a difference for me as well was the internet, for all that it took away aspects of livelihood for musicians, but it gave me the opportunity to book myself tours in the States and to make a record and sell it myself, because I didn't have the music business behind me. I didn't have a record label and all that kind of thing. So there was really an opportunity there for people like me to do something.
Yeah.
And particularly in the early days of the internet, it was all just wide open.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Were you on mp3.com? I don't remember.
I mean,
it was a little bit earlier. It might have been earlier than that.
Don't know. I found CD Baby almost immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they pretty much took over everything really quick.
Yeah.
Because they're brilliant, taking care of our independent artists.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's fantastic. And so, so you started playing, you started doing some touring stuff. Now, are you doing, you still usually work with another musician?
In the States, no, I tour solo.
Okay.
And it gives me, you know, the chance to just play, you know, a big program. Because I've loads and loads of songs. I have a new album just out.
Yeah, I saw that. What's it called again?
It's called Swimming the Horses.
Swimming the Horses.
And that's of new songs and a handful of instrumentals as well. A couple of instrumentals on National Steel guitar.
Are you still playing the 12 string? I think
12
you're playing
string. Yeah, I played the 12 string still and 6 string. And tonight, for example, I'm playing in a pub with no amplification, so I'll be playing my National Steel guitar because
it's loud
and you don't have to thrash it to be heard. You can play it very delicately, It's actually a very delicate instrument in its way, but it's just people can hear it.
Yeah. Do you project well?
It depends.
That's the toughest thing with tall string guitar is that it's such a powerful instrument. You know, it can. I feel like it drowns out most vocals.
The 12 string is a surprisingly delicate sound as well when it's acoustic. It's not loud. Do you know? Yeah.
Okay.
But if I play a gig in a pub with no amplification or a session, I'll bring the National Steel guitar so I don't have to play it hard.
Yeah.
Because nothing's worse than thrashing on a guitar. It's just horrible.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I can understand that. Fantastic. And now you're playing, where are you playing tonight?
Playing in Nelligan's Pub.
Nelligan's Pub. And do you play all over the... I've seen you're at the Sullivan's Courthouse sometimes.
Yeah,
and have you listed on the website?
Sure.
Which is where first thing I was like, huh, he's here? where else do you play around that?
Oh, John Benny's Pub, the Courthouse... St. James's Church. There's real concerts there.
Okay.
Throughout.
Are there something that people should definitely go see?
Yeah. And there's different people playing. It's three nights a week, and they're concerts, and it's a beautiful venue. And so I do a lot of those. I'm not doing one there now. I just played one on Friday. I think I'm there again next Friday.
Okay. Wow.
There's countless places, you know.
Yeah.
I couldn't list all the places that I've played in around here. There's loads, though.
Yeah. Now, do you, your songs that you're writing from that you released from the new album, do you have some inspirations for those?
Well, definitely there's a huge strain of songs about this area.
Yeah.
There's a song called Swimming the Horses, which is the title track, and it's about where I was living on this peninsula by a pier. Racehorse trainers used to bring their horses to the pier and swim them into the sea.
Really?
To exercise them. In Lexington, Kentucky, and in Newmarket in England, in Dubai, they have multi-million dollar equine swimming pools, but here
we got Dingle Peninsula.
Arguably, it's healthier in the sea. So I used to go and see them and photograph them and everything. There's a song, anyway, that's set against that backdrop. There's a song called The Last King of Fionnuala, which is about this character who used to roam all around here. And I got to know him because I lived quite near where he lived. And he just walked and walked and walked with great intensity. And I'd sometimes pick him up because he'd hitch into Dingle. And I couldn't understand a word he said. And I thought, his Irish is so very strange and peculiar. And my Irish isn't great. So I thought, I just don't understand any of it. And then I realized nobody can understand any of it. He's in his own. He's got his own language, you know. And as I say, he was a character. And then we got along really well because I would talk to him. He would talk to me. And sometimes I'd come out of the shop out there. This is about 10 miles west of here, northwest. And he'd be sitting in the passenger seat of my car, right, with a big smile on his face, ready to be taken home, you know. Maybe that's why I called him the Last King of Fionnuala. But that's that song. And there's a bunch of
Fionnuala.
Fionnuala is the place about 10 miles west of here.
Oh, okay, that's the place. Okay.
Yeah, I lived near it, and he lived in it. So it's a townland. There's millions of them around here. Every clump of houses is its own townland with its own name.
Nice.
And often traditions too. And and history.
Yeah, where do you find inspiration for your songs? I mean, is it typically like that? Those scenarios?
Yeah, I suppose, but they write themselves in that sense. I don't often set out with a plan, and very often what I do is I'll sit down and play the guitar, and something presents itself, and then it's a puzzle for me.
That's a lot of times what I do.
Is this a song? And if so, what kind of song is this?
What kind of story can you tell?
Yeah.
Do you do mostly stories? Tell stories in your songs, or do you?
You, in a sense, you have to.
Because I know, like the rock music, you know, there's a lot of lack of story.
Yeah.
Well, whereas the folk, you have these real good stories.
Yeah, you either you tell a story or you paint a picture. Do you know? And It's just whatever holds, because you, at the back of your mind, you're always thinking, how is anybody going to care about this? You know, what does this mean to anybody? And it drives you to hold line by line. Every line has to hold the listener's attention and pique their interest in some way. Otherwise, you've lost them.
Yeah.
And so inevitably that leads you to story, or it leads you to painting a picture, or describing an emotion very starkly. It has to be. It can't be just a load of waffle about how nice the day is.
Right, right.
Although there's a place for that too.
Right. Really good songwriters can do right about anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Like this table. This is the finest. It's not mine. fantastic. Now, you mentioned you did some photography. Do you do that for fun, or do you do art, or?
Well, it's for fun, you know. And nowadays, you know, everybody's a photographer to an extent, so you have to love it, because it comes in and out of focus.
I was thinking about it because I was, you know, I don't know about if you, and you know, this, I found that CD sales are dropping. Fewer and fewer are happening, and I'm constantly looking at how to monetize various aspects of my life so that I could you know, continue to make a living as a musician. You know, and I'm curious if you've done anything, or
no, not really. I mean, people have used my photographs a little bit, and if they seem to want to pay something, I'll name a price. But you know, I haven't really looked to it. There's all kinds of things you can do that I haven't done. You know, there are stock places, and I don't know how well that works.
I'm sure
it works well for some and not for most people.
Yeah,
but I haven't gone into it.
Well, Ireland has so many great things to take pictures of, and I'm sure other places.
Well, you know,
some of the
really, really good photographers I know wouldn't be that interested in Ireland because it's too damn pretty. You know, some people are drawn to darkness in various ways, and photographers, they have some of them very particular tastes about that, and there are people who like, this is the most photographed place on earth, practically, the Dingle Peninsula, and you could continue to take pictures of it. It changes every day, and there's so much of it. So there's a lot to be done, but and one photographer in particular is a friend of mine who's really, really good, came here, and I couldn't interest her in taking pictures much of the place at all, because it was just too pretty.
That's fascinating.
Yeah,
I mean, don't get me wrong. I try to take pictures, and they all look terrible. I mean, they look blah. They don't look interesting, I'll be honest. But I'm not a good photographer, so. Yeah. But I would imagine, you know, the good photographers can usually, I think, capture something.
Oh no, it's not about whether or not they can capture.
Yeah?
It's whether it moves them. Do you know?
Yeah.
So some people are drawn to, you know, desert areas, or urban blight, or, you know,
here's an interesting question. What exactly moves you with in music?
I listen, you know, expression, really, and touch. I listen a lot and this sounds really eccentric, and I suppose I am. I listen to a lot of Soviet-era classical piano players.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
And one in particular, Emil Gilels, I just adore him. And that feeling of being utterly focused, I hear it in his playing, you know, completely and utterly focused, as though everything is the first time. His sense of touch, when he plays a note amidst a flurry of notes, so many. Every note is calibrated in terms of its volume, not just in terms of soft, medium, hard. It's just what exact weight to give each note, and why, and again, the storytelling that is in somebody's playing who is that good. Do you know?
Yeah.
Him, Sviatoslav Richter, Marta Argerich, those people. To me, they are at the pinnacle of playing music. I listen to them a lot, and I just adore them.
Yeah.
They give me so much pleasure.
I can see that, actually. I mean, the way you describe it, the one time I've seen you perform, I had that same image, because you were playing, I think it was an instrumental piece at the time, and the way your hands were moving on the guitar were just, it was stunning. It was a stunning piece, and it had that same sort of feel of the flair of the touch, and it was gorgeous. So yeah,
good, thank you.
Yeah, so well, you achieved your master's in a different instrument. And yeah, such, yeah. But awesome. That's fantastic. I'm looking forward to seeing hearing you perform, and after many, many years, however long it has been. So. Let me ask you a couple final questions. Since a lot of my listeners are Celtic music fans,
yeah.
Who would you, if you were to recommend a couple albums, who would you, the first albums that you come to your mind?
And Celtic music.
And Celtic music, yeah.
To go back in time, Johnny Doran's album of his piping.
Uh-huh.
I think he...
Is he Ilion Piper?
Ilion Piper, and Long, Long Gone, and this was an album that only came out a few years ago, and I had never heard him play, and he was a legend, you know, that people would talk about. But when I heard him, I thought, wow, he's maybe the best there's ever been. He's just a very special musician. But that's for the purists, in a way, because unaccompanied Ilion Piping is not for everybody,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, yeah. I love Ilion Pipe. That's
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I used to love the Highland Pipes, but then I really got into the Ilion. I would love to have more of that on my podcast. I know that for sure.
Yeah, yeah. you know, they might enjoy the albums by a local duo here called Lumiere, which is an unlikely name.
Yeah.
But they're called Lumiere, and it's Pauline Scanlon and Eilish Kennedy.
Pauline Scanlon, I know that name. I don't know why.
Yeah, and they've released two or three albums, and it's beautiful stuff.
Okay.
With great songs.
Lumiere, okay.
Lumiere, yeah.
I will have to look them up. Another question is, so if there is a place or two in the Celtic nations that you would recommend that someone should go, see, go yeah. be at, to experience something, what would you suggest?
I mean, you're here.
That's you can say Dingle, but is there something in particular in Dingle, in the peninsula that really inspires you?
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. Great Blasket, the Great Blasket Island.
I love the Blasket Island.
Yeah, go to the Great Blasket Island and take off your shoes.
Oh, yeah?
And because you don't need shoes there, and your feet will love the grass and the heather,
okay.
And the hillsides and the sand, it's like people are going now a lot to Skellig Michael.
Yeah.
Ever since it featured in Star Wars movies, and it's where monks used to live as hermits in these stone huts, and it's it's a huge climb, and it's an amazing place in the middle of the sea, of the ocean.
Yeah.
It's incredible, but it's a very flinty kind of masculine energy. It's a very particular kind of energy, very particular kind of place. The Great Blasket Island, on the other hand, is very feminine. And
interesting.
If that and I think if you go there, that will make sense.
That does
it's hard
make
to
sense.
Make sense of it without experience.
Yeah, no, that makes sense to me.
But, and you, if you walk all the way around the island as much as you can, and wind back over the hill and climb up it's like a huge elephant, the island, and so it's really high. You climb up and you come down towards Ontrobon, which is the beach. And if you get into the sea there, after all that, it's cold out there, but you need it after that walk and climb. And it's so beautiful. It's just, and you look across at Ireland. The people who lived there, they used to look across and they used to refer to the mainland as Ireland, like they weren't on Ireland. And,
wow.
And I feel the same way. When I'm beautiful. Out there, I think I don't want to go anywhere else except be here.
That's beautiful. Yeah. Awesome. Cool. Well, thank you so much. Your new album is Swimming with Horses.
Swimming the Horses.
Swimming the Horses. Mm. And it's jerryoburn.com.
It is, but my name is spelled funny.
Yeah, the O-B-E-R-I-N-E. Oh, G-E-R-R-Y.
Yeah, O-B-E-I-R-N-E.
E-I-R-N-E.
Yeah, cool. Yeah.
And I'll have all that in the show notes when
right,
I put this
right.
up. So. Awesome. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, Mark. A pleasure.
Cool. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Good interview.
Yeah.
Hopefully everything came off of that just well. I'll make sure.
Yeah, yeah.
I should listen for that. But and I got the double one, so I should have started this one sooner, but that was great.